John, and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. Yeah. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, our final segment of the morning right here. Dell follows us. We got, I'm sure we got more watch parties this week, Dell.
I did not get the email to tell me about that.
Maybe, I bet we get something today.
But we will
probably get it. We want to thank Huntington Bank. Thank you for all our watch parties we're having. It's a big time had by all. Big time. And we got, what, noon? We got great games all the way through this evening.
Yeah, it was a little weird to only have the one game. Like, Canada and South Africa were isolated. Only game yesterday. And Canada came through. So they had to leave their country. The plan for them was to play.
Canada Day, too. So it was like them playing on the 4th of July.
It was all set up for them to play a couple knockout round games in their country. But because they finished in second, they had to come down to L.A. And they got that win. And they move on. Late goal. And it's very funny because people started doing the thing where they said one Portuguese number 7 has scored a goal in the knockout rounds. Another Portuguese number 7 has never scored a goal in the knockout rounds because the goal scorer for Canada is of Portuguese descent, and he happens to wear the number 7. I guess Ronaldo's – the one thing hanging over Ronaldo's head beyond never winning a World Cup is he's never scored a knockout round goal. So maybe he'll get that.
Wait, ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Only in the group
Ever's
rounds? Ever?
Time. Ever is a long time.
That is crazy. You know what I learned this weekend in one sentence? I totally forgot about this. 13 of Messi's 18 goals have been scored past the age of 35 in World Cup.
Well, he was – at one point, a World Cup failure. People were questioning him and his inability to perform. Now, they made the final in 2014, and they were knocked out by France in 18 and maybe the second round. I don't remember if it was a quarter or second round, and then he wins the final. He wins the title in 2022. But he had a history of being a guy who did not show up. He was great for his club, not for his country. They hadn't won Copa Americas under him until he got older. A lot of his Argentina accomplishments came after people thought he might be past his prime. That's the type of superstar he's been. And they are one of the favorites to win it again. And he scored a goal coming in as a sub. I think he's now scored a World Cup goal in
seven
games?
Different World Cups?
No, Ronaldo has that one, six different ones. Right?
Seven in a row.
Seven appearances in the World Cup match in a row, he scored a goal. Yeah. Messi has, which is nuts.
Yep. All right. Who's on the line, Dell?
Bobby.
Bobby, what's going on, Bobby?
Howdy, gentlemen. Hope we had a good weekend. Looking forward to the 4th of July weekend as well. Not sure how privy y'all were to the online discourse about Jaylen Brown and the advanced analytics, but it reminded me, especially with 4th of July coming up, one of my favorite Benjamin Franklin quotes, "The game is played on the court, not on the spreadsheet, you nerd." I called last year after the Texans lost to the Rams, railing against advanced analytics really jumping the shark, and now to a point where they're telling you things that are bad are actually good, things that are good are actually bad. This pendulum swing from analytics being a piece of the puzzle to now the end-all, be-all. We're calling Jaylen Brown the seventh best player on the Celtics. Like, this is just getting absurd here. I was a huge Morey Ball guy until Morey Ball proved that it doesn't work, and we've seen this time and time again with the Warriors and the Knicks. So just wanted to call and tell everyone who's welcomed on to the anti-analytics team. We've been here for years. We're taking all comers. Feel free to join.
So if you don't know what he's talking about, his name being Bobby is interesting there. Bobby Marks went on SiriusXM NBA radio and relayed what he was told. He talked to a member of a team's front office who does analytics and said their analytics show that Jaylen Brown is a seventh best player on a team. Don't know the numbers, but those are what the numbers told him. If you disagree, that's cool. But the overriding thing is the numbers don't support Jaylen Brown as being an impact player. Like, analytically, he is not as impactful as you would think, considering what he's accomplished, whether it be the finals MVP, being a consistent part of a winner. The numbers say he is less impactful than other players of his salary range. So that's why he went on a rant all weekend, wanting to hear no Bobby Marks sources, attacking analytics. He also attacked ESPN, pretty much called them corrupt.
Who did? Who called him that?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen was calling him that?
He says Stephen A. Smith is like the head of a pretty much
corrupt
organization, pretty much. He doesn't have much respect for ESPN.
Corrupt organization.
The word sounds corrupt like wasn't FIFA. Used, but it was like unethical, I think might have been the word he used. Unethical organization in ESPN. So he has had a time this offseason, and the Celtics are actively trying to trade him.
Hmm.
And Kawhi is a guy who may not go to Boston, but is good with going back to Toronto.
Well, what about Dallas? Dallas is in the mix, too.
I saw that, but Shams this morning, or in the last 24 hours or so, has said that the only place he would be willing to sign an extension with is a place, you know, he left because he wouldn't sign an extension with. Toronto.
That's funny, though, because the jury's in Dallas now.
Yeah, some people are saying Kawhi's got a RICO case coming, so he's fleeing the country.
That's not out of the realm. Not
RICO,
out of the realm.
Maybe a little much.
He's got a case coming, maybe federal, so he wants to go. And considering our relations with Canada, maybe they wouldn't extradite him.
Yeah, they might keep him.
Maybe not. Since he won a title,
and they don't like us very much, and he would only be able to play the games in Canada, the 41 games a year in Canada. But yeah, so analytics got a lot of basketball stuff. Shams just dropping news throughout the day.
So you just pay him half. Just pay him half.
So some of the stuff on advanced analytics, look, when you try to use analytics to create a narrative, when you data dredge, which ironically Daryl taught me what that was, when you try to create a narrative based on your advanced analytics where you're looking for something to show that a player is really actually better than you think he is, that's super annoying. But if you have data that shows that a player is just confirms that a player is a bad shooter, for example, and it shows multiple examples of how a player isn't a very good shooter, I don't get upset about that. All you're doing is just taking, you're just taking performance on the court, and you're taking the performance and you're showing, you're putting more context to the performances. I don't fear analytics. What I don't like is when analytics is used as the sole arbitrator of if a player is good or bad, and if you are able to, if you believe that you can just look at numbers and you don't even have to watch a sport on a player. Now, in baseball, it's probably the closest you can get to where the box score can do most of the work for you. In football, it's not even close. So the argument, you know, some of these guys in football have now decided they want to try to figure out a way that they can determine who the best draft prospects are without having to watch tape. And that's never going to work. It's never going to work. There's too much. It's apples to oranges in terms of competition. You have to watch. I mean, you have to watch performances, and you marry tape study. You marry it with data to make sure that you don't have, you know, confirmation bias going on. But the idea, that's why, you know, the Bobby's call, I mean, sometimes I think it's a little overdone when you act like all analytics are bad or whatever. It's not if it alerts you to certain things. The Tampa Bay Rays are sitting there in first place. I don't know. They're heavily analytics-based. And the Tampa Bay Rays literally can't keep a fan base engaged. And they are constantly competitive. Constantly competitive. They do a great job. The Houston Astros were built on the back of, you know, some analytical thinking, obviously. I don't get upset with that, including spin rate and you know, things that work off of spin rate. I don't get upset about it. Now, Daryl Morey, his big problem is that Daryl Morey was able to build, and once he got to the area where you had to you had to click the last, you know, the last tumbler on the safe and open the safe, he didn't know how to. There was no way he knew how to. And I would argue that he didn't even act analytically. Where are your shooters? If three is greater than two, why do you have such booty-ass shooters on your team? Why didn't you ever go get shoot? Why is Ja? Dude, why is what's his name who shot so crooked from Florida?
Are we going to Corey Brewer slander?
Corey Brewer again.
That's
right.
I'm going to do it again. Why is Corey Brewer on your team twice if he can't shoot Josh Smith? Like, if your entire thing is math, three is greater than two, why are you never hyper-focused on being a great three-point shooting team?
You know, it's funny. I saw that somebody tweeted out this morning. The Rockets have like a 2% chance of getting out of the Western Conference. Oklahoma City's 37%. San Antonio's 35%. The Rockets were well down, even behind the Lakers. And somebody had tweeted out, well, here's a list of names of some shooters that they could actually go out and get. And that would be actually kind of smart. You know, I think, you know, Finamis was, it was a good try. It just didn't, it didn't work out. It was a bad signing because he just wasn't any good. And it made, whether he fell
it
off
happens.
The wall. Yeah, he fell off. Yeah, you
he
have
missed.
Bad signings all the time.
Missed, whatever.
But the key is go get somebody that can shoot. Go get some, I mean, you're right. It's been so long that we're talking about all the, go get some shooters.
Yeah, you really need to start finishing in make percentage at a higher number. Not just, you know, volume. Efficiency. When you were playing at your best early in the year, all we talked about is how, man, look how efficient this team is shooting threes. This is crazy. And then once that went away, it was like Rockets became a very erratic team. And some of it we just chalked up to Kevin Durant and the burners and all that stuff. But you know, a lot of it was really, yeah, you had some injuries, but the other thing was you just were no longer an efficient three-point shooting team. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of having – Reed Sheppard is a streaky shooter. He has ability as a shooter, but he's streaky. Amen Thompson is a negative-negative shooter. He's somebody who hurts your team's opportunity. He makes it harder to win games when he's shooting beyond 20 feet.
Well,
and the game gets much tougher to win.
And the guy they're rumored to be the front runner for, not exactly a knockdown shooter
unless you count
the first couple games against the Rockets in that playoff series.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart is a career 32% three-point shooter.
Yeah. And that's the argument is, you know, like I saw this comment on, there was an argument going around on Twitter about the Rockets and picking up different guys. And the argument was, don't want bad shooters anymore. Like the fans are making a case for Ja Morant. And I get it. It's a splashy. To think Ja's the same physical. He's not the same. The guy hasn't played over the last 3 years. He hasn't even played more than 50 games. He's physically always hurt. We know about the offseason. I keep hearing, hey, there's still time for him to mature. He is who he's going to be. Even if he calms it down a little bit. Like, Ja doesn't fit this, and he's never healthy. He just doesn't play. He's always, if he's not in trouble, he's hurt. He's hurt a lot, and he wasn't explosive. He quit on his own team last year, and you can say whatever you want, but the try level wasn't there. And he's not a good shooter. And when somebody brought up his three-point shooting and brought up his, they brought up his, the advanced analytics, but all you have to do is you can just show his three-point percentage. Ja's a bad shooter. He's a high-volume, low-make shooter from distance. Don't want those guys. Got enough of those guys. I'm interested in some guys who can get makes. You know, the Ja argument is just, I think it's based on who Ja was four years ago. I think what people are trying to do. Yeah, he was fun to watch and all that. I might have been willing to have this conversation 3 years ago, but right now, no thanks. Ja doesn't play. Guys don't get healthier as they get older. He's had multiple run-ins off the court. He just doesn't look like he's his competitive spirit was just low last year when the Rockets played him. It's just, there's too many negatives there with Ja Morant.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. I don't want any Ja Morant. I can't root for that guy. I don't want to root for that guy.
What about a team with Ja and LeBron?
No. Good Lord. 713-780-3776.
I want to see the Rockets.
What about LeBron?
Is there another one? Who's another basketball player you hate? Anyone who dunks?
James.
James, yeah, James. James,
oh
LeBron,
my
and
gosh.
Ja.
Oh, my gosh.
James, and Ja.
James, Ja, and LeBron?
What's got to do it.
He might be a pretty good team, though. I mean,
James, and Ja?
A little old.
Would have been pretty good in about 2022.
I mean, James and LeBron, that is, and Harden, they're still productive, but They wouldn't be very likable.
No, but Cleveland's locking them up. Good on them. Smart move. I mean, you saw them in the postseason. Smart move.
Of course.
Well done. Well
Gotta
played.
Do it.
Time for us, Lance and I, to talk about a great team over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. And Billy Brown has put that team together, and it's growing. And he's got a bunch of guys out there on the streets coming to your home. I mean, they are out and about. If it's an emergency, they're going to get there. They're going to get there right away, and they're going to help you out. Ooh, and maybe even on the way, they'll show you how to turn off your water if you're starting to get, you know, you're leaking and it's, holy crap, we're in trouble. Here, we'll tell you how to turn off that water by the time we get there, and we'll make sure that we plug this up for you and you don't have any issues. I've had it. Lance has had, well, you had an entire repipe and you're through your backyard.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, big job, small job, no matter what it is, you can do a lot of preemptive stuff as well. You know, like cleaning out your tankless water heater, or, you know, just, you know, having them come and look at your pipes and make sure. I mean, that's what they did with you, right? Your backyard. They said, we got to go look at this.
Well, yeah. Well, look, if you have old metal pipes underneath your home is built in the 50s or 60s, you're going to have it replaced. Like, it's 100%. Just like you have to have foundation work, you're going to have those replaced. And you want a company that is fair, honest, and does great work. And even if it's a small job, right now they can come out and give you a hydrostatic test to find out if you're leaking anywhere in your septic system. So make sure that you give them a call, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. It's our good friends over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, recapping. We haven't talked Astros baseball in how long? Five straight series. Two come-from-behind wins over the weekend. They got slapped on Friday night and bounced back with a huge win. Isak Paredes with the huge hit in that one. He homered yesterday as well. But the three-run homer by Christian Walker, Hunter Brown with six innings pitched. I mean, a lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. I mean, this team is just playing good, good baseball. Really, really love what Delgado is bringing to the team. He seems to be a guy that Joe's not afraid to put in the lineup. He's coming up with big hits. He's playing good. He had an error, but other than that, he's been playing good defense. So, Raynell's doing a nice job. Isak Paredes has been on fire. Christian Walker, again, he had his struggles. He had an 0-for-6 in Detroit. And so, he got a day off. And so, after that, Yiner's still over 1,000. The only guy in the league over 1,000 OPS. The only guy in the league.
What?
Yeah. Juan Soto is second at 9-something.
You said Yiner, you mean Yordan.
Oh, did I say Yiner?
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
No, Yordan, rather.
Is Yiner
Yiner's hitting the ball better, too.
That's fine.
Yiner's.
Is Yiner
yesterday, notwithstanding, but he's been hitting the ball better.
Yeah.
He was 0-for-5 yesterday, but two hits, one hit, two hits. I mean, that's nice.
Yeah,
630. And coming up with some big hits.
631 OPS still. Got a long way to go.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it went down from 654 yesterday. He doesn't have a lot of at-bats. Yeah, I mean, so
one day. He looked so good as a rookie, too. He was so good.
Yeah, he's
so promising.
He's all right. But, you know, you get the bullpen, the back of the bullpen looks great. Brian King is coming in and doing a nice, and Yell is really struggling. Brian Abreu is still struggling. You know, Josh Hader has made a huge difference. Josh Hader has been he and Hunter, those two returning have meant everything to this team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been huge.
Yeah.
It's been huge. You know, Christian Walker has been pretty timely this year in terms of home runs when he's been able to deliver directly into winning situations. I mean, Yordan, but Christian Walker has. Paredes has been able to do the same. You have had those two guys who were additions that were important last year, and one got injured and one was bad. But those two guys have played a role in this little mini comeback that's been going on. They've definitely played a role.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so this has been a fun time. And we've got World Cup Canada advances, and we got three games today. And we'll see who Canada plays on the 4th of July in Houston. It'll be either the Netherlands or Morocco. That game goes off tonight. And the other games, Brazil taking on Japan and Germany against Paraguay. Germany is it's got to be a huge
favorite. Oh, they're
huge
a huge favorite.
Yeah, huge favorite.
They're not a real good team, but they're a huge favorite.
Yep.
The favorites right now are Brazil to advance minus 290. Japan advances plus 231. Germany advances minus 650. Paraguay plus 450. Netherlands minus 160. Morocco plus 132. That's a scrap.
Yeah. Two of these games could go to PKs.
Oh, yeah. I could see. The only one I see going to PKs, actually, is Netherlands-Morocco.
I don't know. Brazil and Japan.
It'll be a good one.
I just don't know.
I don't know if Brazil. Japan's over-under for goals is a half. I just don't know if Japan is going to be able. If Brazil gets on the board first, I think it could be a wrap. Japan's going to have to get on the board first if they want to. Or try to keep it nil-nil.
Or just keep it at nil. Yeah,
yeah, they could. But I'm thinking that we're going to see one game get to PKs today. You know, Germany, like I said, Germany's not great. Germany is just kind of they erupted in the second half against Curacao, but they're not a great team this year. They're not a great side.
We'll see if they. Well, yeah, they got Paraguay. So
how did this happen? Where Morocco and the Netherlands are jumping off in a round of 32? How are they playing? They're both good.
Well, Morocco is in Brazil's group, so some second place team. Someone had to be second in that group.
Yeah.
Well, then let's not forget there's four games. Well,
is there any way we could do like
four games where two second place teams are playing?
Yeah.
That's true, but I'd like to see them. Like, one of the places that international soccer gets it wrong in FIFA is they don't have like a BCS type of thing where you have people, like a group of people who say, all right, I want this. I want their team versus this team. Do it like we do college football.
You prefer people to.
For March Madness.
You prefer matches to be said as opposed to people playing
Let people get in there and argue their cases, like Condoleezza Rice of soccer, whoever that is.
Okay. And others, sure.
Different, you know, Brett Yormark or
you
whatever
think
his name
FIFA,
is.
Noted corrupt FIFA should be making these decisions.
Yeah. I mean, get some people who are going to be honest, good people.
In FIFA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just look for the honest people.
You don't think there may be things that could be done to influence some of these decision
makers? I mean, it's
unlikely.
FIFA usually plays it straight.
We have not talked about, as Lance puts up in horrible idea,
let's just work it out in the room.
With Algeria and Austria, where people expected that game to be 0-0 because it benefited neither team to try very hard. First of all, the winner would have to face Spain. If Algeria won, they'd have to face Spain. So why would you want to win? You just want to draw so you advance and not have to face Spain. Austria in that same boat where no one wants to see Spain. So how do we get there without facing Spain? People thought that would be a pass, no one try. Instead, the first half was great. Two goals aside. And then
they gave it back and forth. Boom, 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 boom.
And then
boom,
for
boom.
The final 20 minutes or so, it devolved into what people thought it would. We're just going to pass. No one's going to take any chances. And there was actually, if you watch the tape of the font of a couple minutes late in the game, there's an Austrian player stretching. He is stretching on the field. He's not a sub. He's on the field stretching as the ball is being passed around by the Algerians.
So you're thinking he's just going to kill it off. And
that,
then
that
Algeria
was the expectation.
Scores 3 minutes into extra time. And Austria comes and gets one at the gun, basically.
They asked Riyad Mahrez, the Algerian who scored. He goes, look, yeah, it's a little awkward, but I was made the pass, and I got to play football at that point. I got to try to score.
Wait, they're having to, like, apologize for scoring?
Because I think both teams, whether they made it known to everyone else, they pretty much said, hey, We're going to sign a peace treaty
this
here.
This isn't what we do in this country. This 2-2. Is why a BCS is needed for FIFA.
Stop it. Mm-hmm. It was 2-2, and everyone thought, hey, okay, we're all good here. No one needs to try to win because we're both through. And, of course, Iran was hoping and praying.
International corruption.
Iran was hoping and praying someone would score and win because that's the way they advanced.
John, what did the great philosopher
– Well, and they were all chanting that Allah is great because he
Algeria
got them in
late.
After the one goal.
And then a minute later,
and then Allah
a minute later
it.
Not so much.
Yeah. Allah disallowed the goal.
Oh, their own goal, you mean. But yeah. Iran was watching the Algeria-Austria game because they needed a winner. If they got a winner, they would advance.
I got you. Oh, Iran had
and then when Algeria
heartbroken in multiple
Algeria scores,
capacities.
They're like, oh, we're through. They did it. And then Austria comes back within like a minute and a half and scores a tie, and now Iran's out.
Look, there was a great American philosopher by the name of Herm Edwards.
Not a great American philosopher.
To win.
He is.
Well, this game ended in a tie.
I know, but you play to win it.
You try to win the game.
How did that work out for Herm over the course of his coaching career?
He became famous. He became a meme.
Mm-hmm.
You want to crown their ass, then crown them.
That's Dennis Green.
Of course, and he's a meme too. Sometimes you do. Can't do it, won't do it. You tell me who that was.
I don't know who that is.
Can't do it, won't do it. That's Mike Singletary after something with Vernon Davis pissed him off.
Boy, was he pissed off a bunch. Mm-hmm.
Those are three famous memes. Then we got the one where Kyle McCray throws a phone and hits a reporter in the face and makes his eye start bleeding.
Mm-hmm. He cut some guy, right? And because he didn't feel like he was trying hard, and they were all like, well, how do you cut that guy? And he was like, can't do it, won't do it.
Yeah, can't do it, won't do it. Then you've got another famous one is Bobby Knight when he's in the – now you want to –
You want to start quoting Bobby Knight?
Not that one. No. No, don't quote Bobby.
I didn't come here to lose to Purdue. You may have. I didn't. And that's the only
and
one
Gene
I can –
Gene Katie's just sitting over there with his hair going, what?
I know. I can't think of – there's got to be other ones where you get famous – we got a team full of dogs.
Playoffs?
Yep. There's one. It's a perfect one. Jim Mora became a meme with playoffs. Playoffs? See, if you're a coach, you can do that. We're talking about practice. Practice.
That's a player, though.
Yeah, it's a meme, though, still. You become famous. Yeah. And Allen Iverson was a great American philosopher as well.
Homer Simpson is a meme, too.
Well, the one where he drifts back into the hedges.
Yeah,
but what did he say?
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, I'm saying we're thinking of, you know, press conference sayings. Do we have any Astros ones? Well, we did have.
Yeah.
No, wait. What's on me, John? That's on me, John.
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
That's one. Here in Houston, we've had. Gary Kubiak used to take the 7-9 is not the bar, Brian.
9-7.
9-7 is not the bar.
AFC South champions. We also have that one. AFC South champion two years in a row, Brian. Doesn't matter, Brian.
But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back.
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Didn't mean to interrupt. Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. We also have.
What's up, Trevor?
Oh yeah. Who said that?
That was Bill O'Brien too. He was.
Oh yeah. What's up, Trevor? After he got on
he
somebody
was
else,
at
I've never
else.
Seen you at a
You're
game.
You're never around. What's up, Trevor?
Or what about this? One fish, two fish, black fish, blue fish, whatever. Red fish, blue fish. You know what I'm saying? Got that one.
Jack used to be. He's
no,
a
not,
not
this.
That one.
Not this.
Okay.
No, that's not a meme.
It kind of is.
It should be.
The Bears are who we thought we are. Yeah, also that was from the same
one.
One
fish, two fish, red fish.
Why don't you crown their ass?
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, same as the crown your ass.
Why don't you crown? That is the crown your ass.
They blew that
game. I love this one. Never going to forget this one.
You hover above, rain hell below.
That's not a meme.
Killing them hogs real nice and slow. Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees. Put you on your ass. Yeah.
Rebels, rebels. Bringing the muskets and bringing down death on us. Rebels, rebels, keep everybody in bondage. Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away.
I'll say this. The first two lyrically were incredible. I don't know what I was on that day, but I came up with some really good
some
lyrics.
Bangers, we would
on
say.
On the move, on the fly. I couldn't do that today. I think I have COVID. So
at the time or now?
Right now.
What? You're on that microphone I have to use?
Eh, it's all right.
No, it's not.
It's like no one cares about COVID anymore.
I do if I get sick.
You get it. You feel bad for about 9 or 10
days. I don't want to feel bad for 9 or 10 days. Who wants to feel
you're
bad?
You're going to. It's
too
bad. Nine-year
NBA veteran Malik Beasley has been indicted on federal gambling charges related to a sports betting scheme.
Not Michael Beasley. Prop bets.
Malik Beasley.
I thought we were done with him. Apparently not. The federal government is not done with him.
No.
They're not done with all of these guys.
They're going to make a case.
What is wrong with them?
They're going to make a case against all of these guys. And Beasley's the one who told his friends, and his friends sold the information to professional gamblers, right?
Terry Rozier was the one who allegedly was passing along information about his own health, about whether he would play or not.
Now, he's indicted. John Daspit once told me you can indict a ham sandwich.
So I said allegedly.
Yeah. It's not like the hard, so we'll see what happens.
But you're also, like, the government is like 98.
Mostly because they
98 win percentage.
Don't they mostly get you to just plea out for the most part? Yeah. Isn't that why that percentage is so high? They just bombard you because you can't fight them most of the time. Most people can't fight the government. So they just take the plea. I don't know. Malik Beasley apparently had money problems. That's why he was in the issues he was into. So he probably can't fight them either.
Yeah. Just make a bunch of money and don't go to prison. That's just.
I think you're asking for too much.
That's the best way to go about that.
Aggies have weighed in. We are talking about some of their chants. They said they're yells. They're not chants, first of all.
Okay.
They're yells. And they have things. They have yells that they do. We're just comparing it to soccer. When I was at a Bundesliga match for Union Berlin, like, I couldn't believe how many different things they were able to sing and chant and cheer and whatever, literally the whole match. So they had a bunch of them.
What's up, John?
Do you guys look outside? Do you see the Saharan dust?
We have our blinds closed, so.
Oh.
I'll look at them during a break.
I mean, it's dominating the city right now.
What are you talking about? You're in California.
City or our city?
Your city.
Saharan dust, Houston. Yep, it's a topic.
What?
Saharan dust rolls into into Texas.
There all day.
Yeah, it's a thing. A dense plume of Saharan dust has settled over Houston.
Like an interstellar?
Maybe, bringing hazy skies and reduced air quality to southeast Texas. The dust is expected to linger through early Wednesday. It's going to be moderately unhealthy air. Are you one of the sensitive groups, Lance, when it comes to breathing?
Well, I have asthma.
Well, then,
but
yes.
It's under control, so I don't think it'll be a problem.
It may affect you. It's unhealthy.
Am I going to see it?
Unhealthy for sensitive groups.
Am I going to see it?
Expect milky white skies during the day. And fiery red, orange, and purple hues dawn and dusk. The dust reflects sunlight and suppresses rain development, helping to maintain Houston's hot and humid summertime temperatures. So it's going to be hotter than even it normally would be, thanks to the Saharan dust.
The skies do look a little dreary.
Milky? That's what it
Milky
says.
White,
Milky
I guess,
white skies.
I guess that's
great. That's cool. It's good stuff.
There you have it.
Neat stuff, John.
Neat stuff. I'm not going to have that.
No, you're going to be.
The casino I'm in today won't have any Saharan dust. That's all. I got to talk right now about HRP. Got to talk about your business during the Saharan dust raid, okay? I don't know how it's going to affect your business. All I know is that HRP can affect your business. HRP can help your business be better. HRP can make you more efficient. HRP can serve the bottom line. HRP will partner with you as opposed to you being a client of theirs. Listen, HRP loses if you lose. H&P, if you don't make it, if you're not as good as you can possibly be, if you're not successful in your business, they're really, really, really good at this stuff. They're really good at getting you your taxes are so easy, okay? All of your employees, they just take care of all of them, and you don't have to worry about a thing, nothing, all right? Their 401ks, they take care of that. Even though they don't sell those, they take care of that for you. Insurance, all of that stuff. All these things that are plaguing you, you've got a business and you're doing well and you're trying to juggle all these balls. HRMP says, let us handle that stuff for you. To the bottom, it goes to the bottom line. You will be more successful. You will be more profitable. HRMP handles that stuff. Look at what if you've got an admin company, look at what that bottom line is, how much you're paying them, and how much less you would pay HRMP. Why don't you just let them come and take a look at your business and give you a free evaluation of what they can do for you? It doesn't hurt. That doesn't cost you a dime. Nothing. All right? See if HRMP can make your business better at HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Time now for News of the Weird.
People are weird.
With John and Lance.
That's real weird.
I got a question for you guys. Have you ever gone to a concert and pooped on the floor so you wouldn't miss any of the show?
Nope. No. I didn't pee in a bar in Florida either.
Well, you're not living. Apparently, Noah Kahan, I don't know who that is. He is 29 years old,
probably,
and he had
streamer.
To tweet out.
An apology?
He tweeted out. No, he said, hey, listen. If you have to poop at a show, please, dear God, just go to the bathroom.
He's a singer, Lance.
Yeah.
He's a singer.
L-M-A-O. I've pooped my pants as much as the next 29-year-old, but you guys got to understand there's a venue worker out there with a 1,000-yard stare after dealing with that.
So he saw this?
He's telling his fans to go to the bathroom and
don't poop on the floor because they've done it.
What are we doing, Gen Z?
Well,
now,
the
they're going to tell you to go to the bathroom?
Maybe he's not the one that should be sending this message. Maybe he should sit this one out. He says he pooped himself while performing on stage during a stop in Charlottesville, Virginia, but that's because I'm dedicated to my craft.
Well, that's different. Look, don't ever want to have it happen, but I've heard from performers who say it happens sometimes with your performer. The show must go on. What's the fan doing? Go to the bathroom. Olivia Rodrigo told
us. I don't want to miss any of it.
Olivia Rodrigo told a story. Like, people in the front row, because they want those spots, they will wear diapers. And she goes, sometimes I can smell the urine. And she's like, guys, what are we doing here?
Oh, my God. What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
The only time that was acceptable is when that one lady found out another lady had cheated with her astronaut husband, strapped up diapers, and just said, I'm driving the whole way and whipping this bitch. Actually, I think it was murder.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just a
that's word fine. Murder.
But you remember that story, John, where she wore diapers the whole way because she said, I ain't stopping.
Yeah. Well, you know, in all fairness to Phil.
Yep.
In fairness to Phil, sometimes you just want to see the concert.
She was pissed off. Yeah, and you just want to see the concert. Apparently, there's a Mexican Batman vigilante.
I've seen this.
He's wanted for chasing down suspected motorbike thieves and taping them to lampposts. I don't have a problem with this.
Do we know that he's full-on Batman, or is it just the guy doing stuff?
Well, apparently they reported that it was Batman.
He's dressed like Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got his Batman on.
I hope so. But it's Batman Year One, because he's taping people to poles. It's not like he's got like all the nice high-tech gear. This is the origination of Batman, the origin story. Where he's using tape. I can't wait for the day that he's got the grappling hook and other things.
Well, apparently, he also wrote on their faces.
He does do that.
They had mustaches, cat whiskers, and the Spanish word for thief on their faces.
Better than what they do to some thieves, like cut off your hand.
Yeah,
so.
Right,
you got off easy.
I mean, police are looking for him, are after him. No!
You've never seen the Batman story? The police always want to catch him.
Yeah.
He's the vigilante that can't be running around the city doing things. It fits, well, it fits right in line with the fictional Batman, too. The police always want to put him away.
I think they should give him an award.
Well, the police never feel that way about the vigilante.
Well, they're not catching him, but Batman is.
And that is why the city falls in love with Batman, because he's doing the things the police can't do. And the police are like, you're dangerous, you're causing destruction, let us do our jobs. And it's happening in real life in Mexico.
It's happening in real life. I love it. Go, Batman, go. Until, I'm on the side of Batman.
Until he pulls you over.
I love Batman.
Until he gets
I ain't stealing no, nothing from nobody.
He may find some of your activities
well,
not
he might
great.
Not like me scootering down.
Yeah, you
with
never
a couple
know.
Pops in me.
You never know. You never know what Batman's going to find offensive.
Scootering yeah. down with a couple pops in me.
Yep, yep, yep. All right, we are done. Mopey and Mapes are not. Is Mopey here?
I'm
I never
Mopey,
know
remember.
If Mopey's here.
Remember, I'm Mopey. So I'm
oh,
here.
I mean Mapes. Is yeah. Mapes here?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, he just walked in. Mapes is here. After a busy week of being out and about at watch parties, Mapes is back.
Mapes! Back in the back in the saddle. Mopey and Mapes. The great team. Someday Hall of Famers. Someday
I hope
Hall
not.
Of Famers.
That would mean we've been working together for 25 years. We both have bigger aspirations.
That is true, Lance. I guess that's... Oh, well.
You guys are morning radio. That's a great accomplishment. Us... If we're doing middays for 25 years, man.
Okay, Matt Thomas would like a word.
Matt yes. Thomas does rocket stuff.
Well, true.
He does, he's true. Got he's broadened his horizons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see much growth.
No.
For me,
Matt Thomas doing just fine.
Yeah, I'm not. This is not. This is about me, not Matt Thomas. Stop making yeah. it about other people, Lance.
How about Mark Vandermeer got a hold of me this weekend and said, hey, we're doing a retrospect on the 25 years. We want to hear your stuff from the sidelines. So I'm going to be on, they'll tape me, I think. And then, and I'm going to tell stories from when I was on the sidelines for 5 years.
Look at that.
They'll let you, they're going to let you be on.
They're going to let me be on.
He's part of the history of Texans football. He should be on.
I'll probably be the only one working blue, but.
why would you do that?
Just to,
where's it going to be?
Where, just to ruin it.
Where can we hear it on 610?
I don't know how they're going to. But he said he'll get a hold of me this week. And
that's
we'll
nice to recognize that you were part of that original.
Yeah,
crew.
I was the original. All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes are next. Have a great day. We will talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
Bye, bitch.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Supreme Court said it will not hear an appeal by President Trump of a New York federal court jury's verdict awarding the writer E. Jean Carroll $5 million for